When was the last time you were afraid? Was it many years ago when you were a child or a teenager? I can recall a time when I was on holiday and supposed to be asleep, but the wind was whistling loudly outside my bedroom window and I was afraid. I went to seek comfort from my parents, who were in the next room. So what are your biggest fears? In his book, The Bravest You, 5 Steps to Fight Your Biggest Fears, Adam Smith, an American life coach, lists the top 10 things most people are afraid of. Number 1, the fear of inadequacy, that is, not being skilled enough. Number 2, the fear of uncertainty. And number 3, the fear of failure. Number 4, the fear of rejection. Number 5, the fear of missing out. This has been popularized by being abbreviated to FOMO, FOMO. Number 6, the fear of change. 7, the fear of losing control. There are some things in life that are outside our control. Number 8, the fear of being judged unreasonably by, say, work colleagues, friends, or even family. 9, the fear of something bad happening. And 10, the fear of getting hurt. These are all genuine human emotions. You can probably think back to moments in your life where you experienced one or more of these fears, where you avoided it, suppressed it, or hid it. Whatever your experience, you may have concluded that none of these reactions helped you. It has been said that worry or being fearful is like being on a rocking horse. It keeps you going, but gets you nowhere. What does the Bible have to say about fear or being afraid? Well, there are many places where the phrase "don't be afraid" or just the word "afraid" appear. Here are 2 of them. From Genesis, Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." From Revelation, when John, in his vision, records, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" So if you have a Bible with you, please turn to Psalm 37. In this psalm, David writes about not worrying, trusting in the Lord, and waiting patiently for him to act. And this psalm vividly contrasts the wicked with the righteous. So what has that got to do with being fearful, of being afraid? Well, in some verses, the thought of being afraid is challenged. Firstly, in verse 1, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong." In other versions it says, "Don't be afraid," or "Don't worry." This opening verse of the psalm sets forth the basic maxim for mature outlook: do not fret or be envious. So why does David say this? It is because the day of those who are evil is short. In verse 2 we read, "For like the grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away." We should never be envious of those who do wrong, even though some may be extremely popular or excessively rich. No matter how much they have, it will fade and vanish like grass that withers away. Because for those who follow God live differently from the wicked, and in the end will have treasures in heaven. What a person who doesn't believe in God gets on earth may last a lifetime, but those of us who follow God receive what lasts forever. Do you live like that? In verses 3 and 4 we are told to trust in the Lord, take delight in the Lord, to commit everything we do to the Lord. What is this commitment about? To commit ourselves to the Lord means entrusting everything, our lives, our family, our jobs, our health, our home, our possessions, to his control and guidance. To commit ourselves to the Lord means to trust in him. In verse 5 we read, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this." It's believing that he can care for us better than we can care for ourselves. To enable this, we should be willing to wait patiently for him to work out what is best for us. The first part of verse 7 reads, "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act." We will come back to this thought of waiting patiently later. But to commit and trust is difficult, but it is the best way. Secondly, we consider the middle part of verse 7 where we read, "Do not fret when other people succeed in their ways." Or in another translation, "Don't worry about evil people who prosper." It's not easy to be content and not fret or worry if any of us have been eclipsed by unpleasant and unscrupulous people. And yet there it is. Don't fret. Don't worry. It may be tempting to exhibit destructive emotions as a reaction to when this happens. However, David provides words that express what our responses should be. They are instructive words to inhibit these emotions occurring. In verse 8 we read, "Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm." You see, anger, rage and envy are very destructive emotions. They can reveal a lack of faith that God loves us and is in control. Thirdly, let's look at that last phrase in verse 7, where we read, "When they carry out their wicked schemes," when you or I are tempted to copy the tricks of other people or disposed to listen to the argument that others do it and therefore it's not so bad as it seems, is not right. We should not compromise, not give good company to a bad thing. That can be tough, and it does raise a question. When we desire to do a good thing, but have to do something bad along the way to achieve the good thing, is it right to travel that path? What do you think? I don't believe it's right to travel that path. It's not a little thing to do wrong. There are verses in this psalm extolling the blessings of following God, being godly, and verses which state what the wicked do and their outcome. Regarding the wicked, just have a look at verses 9, 10, 15, 20, 33, 35 and 36, where you read about what does happen to the wicked. We should not worry. Instead, we should trust God, giving ourselves to him for his use and safekeeping. When we dwell on our problems, we will likely become anxious and possibly angry. When we concentrate on God and his goodness, we will find peace. Where do you focus your attention? David reassures us these situations won't last forever when in verse 9 and 10 we read, "For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land." Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. It's summed up in verses 23 and 24. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. The person in whom God delights is the one who follows God, trusts him, and tries to do his will. God watches over and makes firm every step that person takes. If you or I would like God to direct our way, then we need to seek his advice before we step out. But also there is another aspect which is implied in this psalm, and it's often an adjunct to worry and being afraid. That's our old friend, impatience. We're often prone to impatience because we want an answer now. Not the next minute, but now. One translation of verse 34 uses the word impatience rather than hope, where it reads, "Don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Travel steadily along his path. He will honour you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed." It is difficult to wait patiently for God to act when we want change right away, but God promises that if we submit to his timing, he will honour us. Peter wrote, "So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and in his good time he will honour you." We should be patient, steadily doing the work God has given you and I to do, and allow God to choose the best time to change our circumstances. So consider, what is this psalm saying to you? And you may well ask, why did I choose to talk about it? Well, one Wednesday earlier this year, I was becoming worried about the work I had to do before I had a week's annual leave the following week. I knew there was insufficient time to complete all the work, but I also knew it all needed to be done. So I could choose to worry, fret, or be disturbed by this. Then before going to sleep that Wednesday night, I came to read this Psalm 37. I read, "Do not worry, do not fret, don't be impatient." Wow, this is God's word for me. So I prayed to God for strength for the next two working days and wisdom to do the right things on the Thursday and Friday. Then, by late Friday afternoon, nearly all the work was done. However, there was still work to do. It was agreed some of the rest of the work could be deferred until later. My colleague would deal with the rest. I left work that day content that God had answered my prayers. My fears had gone, and he had guided me in selecting the work I should do. The answer came at the last possible moment. It had seen me through Thursday and Friday. God had answered my prayer. So, dear listeners, whoever you are and wherever you are listening to this, just know this. The Lord can handle our fears and our worries. He can teach us to trust him for both the small and large things in life, and that in his time, the answers do come if we allow God to choose the best time. May God bless you. Amen.